All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Dalid. We're going to start on the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Beis Mishnah. A lot to do today. So Hakore BaTorah Lo Yivchos Mishlosha Pesukim. If one is reading in the Torah, one should not read less than three Pesukim. So we've already established this concept beforehand. That Lameisa, again, you can't read less than three Pesukim in the Torah. We'll discuss why that is. I should say the Gemara will give an additional reason for that in the coming Gemara. Furthermore, again, when you're going ahead and reading to the Turgamon, you should not read to him more than one Pasuk at a time. The idea behind that is what? The idea behind that is you don't want the Turgamon to get mixed up. Look at Rashi. Shlo yite miturgamon min hametargim alpeh. Remember, again, the Turgamon is hearing what the Baal Kori says and subsequently giving an interpretation of it. So if you give the Turgamon too much at a time, he will end up getting mixed up. And of course, you don't want that. Ubinavi, tap of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Ubinavi Shlosha. And with Navi, you can go ahead and you could read three psukim at a clip and let the Turgamon then translate or interpret them afterwards. And if you look at Rashi, he says over here, Ubinavi Shlosha, so he writes, Imirtze, velo ichbaslan imyite, delo nafka mine hora. This is actually very interesting. So he writes over here that Lamaisa, with none, it comes to Navi. You could even go ahead and have him read three psukim at a time. Why? Because again, Lamaisa, what's the worst case scenario? That the Turgamon makes a mistake. If the Turgamon makes a mistake, it's not so geferlach, meaning it's not such a big deal, because at the end of the day, there's no halachic instruction that comes from Navi, and therefore, again, there's no concern that something negative is going to happen. Furthermore, hayu shloshtan shalosh parshios, if, however, again, the three psukim are three different parshios, meaning that if the three psukim in Navi represents three different thematic ideas, then korin echad echad. Then we do not read them, then we will not read them in a block of three, but rather we'll read them one at a time. Medalgin b'Navi, ve'in medalgin b'Torah. We can skip around in Navi, but we don't skip around in Torah. Look at Rashi. Medalgin b'Navi, mi parsha la parsha, from one parsha to the next. But we don't go ahead, ve'in medalgin b'Torah. Rashi says, shashomea esakofes imakom lamakom, ein libo miyushav l'shmoa. Because it will say, apparently, when you go ahead and hear, or for that matter, when you see also that the tzibur is skipping around in the Torah, it creates a lapse in one's concentration. Therefore, we do not skip within Torah, but we do skip within Navi. Va'ad kamahu medalek, and how much can you skip? I mean, we'll actually see what this means in the Gemara, but assuming that you can skip around in Navi, how much can you skip in Navi? So the Gemara says, Ad kedei shlo yifso katurgamon. You could skip as much as you want, as long as what? As long as there is not a lapse. As long as by the time the Turgamon finishes interpreting the pasuk that you just read, you're already rolled to your new destination. Also remember, again, when they speak about reading from the Nevi'im, understand, of course, that they're talking about everything from a scroll. So the idea that the Mishnah is saying over here is that if you want to skip, you can skip, but you have to be able to roll to wherever your new destination is by the time that the Turgamon finishes interpreting the previous pasuk. Look at Rashi. Shlo yifsok haTurgamon. Shlo yidalig mimakom shu korei. Ela kedei shiyuchal lagol es haSefer. Belikros makom adiluk, kodim shigmar turgamon targum hamikra, targum hamikra shei daliza, mishum shein kavod sibor laamod sham b'shtika. This is interesting. So why this idea that you could skip, but you have to be at the location, the desired location, by the time the Turgamon finishes his interpretations? Because the one thing we don't want is we don't want people sitting there in silence. Because if people end up sitting there in silence, it just creates a tircha de tzibor, an unnecessary wait time for the tzibor. Okay, so it says the Gemara. Hani gimo psukim kineged mi. So it says the Gemara, these three psukim, to whom do they correspond? So let's remember, this is going back to the idea that we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you read the Torah, you cannot read less than three psukim. So who do these three psukim correspond to? Amravasi keneget Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. They correspond to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Tanakh. Okay. Says the Gemara. Velo yikra l'torgamon yosem yipasuk echad. Ubinavi gimo psukim. Vim hayu shloshtan shalosh parashios kore echad echad. So remember again, the Mishnah said that you can't read the Torgamon for Torah. You can read the Torgamon one pasuk at a time. By Navi, you can read the Targumon three psukim at a time, but if the three psukim of Navi happen to be three different concepts, three different ideas, or three different thematic overtones, then Lemaisa, you have to read them one at a time. So Gemara gives an example over here of where do you find three consecutive psukim of Navi that represent three different ideas or themes. Kigon, also here the Gemara is quoting from Yeshaya. Then in Yeshaya Nun Beis Gimel, chapter 52, Pasuk Gimel, so the Navi says, Ki ko amar Hashem, so has Hashem said, Chinam nimkartem velo bekesef tigoilu. Right? You have literally been sold for nothing, and it will not be with money that you will be redeemed. Okay, that's the first Pasuk. Second Pasuk, Ki ko amar Hashem Elokim Mitzrayim yorad ami. Next Pasuk is, so Hashem said, and this Pasuk is talking about the servitude in Egypt. And then the next Pasuk, and also these are all pretty much consecutive, but not pretty much, they're consecutive Pasukim. The third Pasuk is, Va'ata malipon u'm Hashem. And now, what place do I have here, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, again, three psukim, which on the surface level have absolutely nothing to do with each other, talking about three different things. So all the Gemara is just trying to do is show us an example that you could have three psukim that by definition are not thematically linked. Okay, and in such a situation like that, although in Navi you could give the Targumon blocks of three psukim, with something like this, where each pasuk is in and of itself a separate and distinct independent theme, you'd have to go ahead and give them to the Targumon over one by one. All right, medalgi b'Navi v'lo medalgi b'Torah. We could skip around in Navi, but we can't skip around in Torah. We'll say, which means again that in Navi, let's say if you're learning Navi, you're teaching Navi, you're reading the Nevi'im, you could skip in the scroll from one section to another section by Nevi'im, but you can't do that with Torah. Says the Gemara, or Minhi, we raise a kasha. Kore acharimos v'ach ba'asur. So we'll say the Gemara says the following. We can go ahead and read the parsha of acharimos as well as ach ba'asur. Remember again, so acharimos is vayikra tes zayin. Ach ba'asur talks about again the avoda of Yom Kippur, and that is where that's in Vayikra Chav Gimel. So we'll say again separated again by six prakim. No, what did I just say? That's six. Seven prakim, excuse me. So separated by seven prakim. So you see over here that lamais. So you can skip around in Torah. V'hakam adalik, Amar Abai. So Abai says, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan dichtei shiyifso katurgimon. V'kan dichtei shelo yifso katurgimon. Oh, we'll say, when does this apply? When do we say that you can't go ahead and skip? When is that? That is if before you end up getting to your desired location within the scroll, the Targumon will already be finished with his translations. But if you can get to your next location before the Targumon is finished with his interpretations, then Lamaisa, you're permitted to go ahead and roll the scroll. Take a look at Rashi. Kan bichtei shlo yifsok haTargumon, v'ha bichtei shlo yifsoku shari, v'ha bichtei shlo yifsoku shahari smuchin hein. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, you could roll the scroll to a new desired location, as long as what? As long as it's close enough that you can get there before the Targumon finishes his interpretations. I'll say the whole idea that we're trying to avoid over here is unnecessary lag time, unnecessary, quiet time, which by definition goes ahead and leads to a lapse in concentration. That's really what we're trying to avoid at this point. So the Gemara says, V'ha ala katani. But we stated again in the Mishnah, medalgin b'navi ve'im medalgin b'torah. But yet, if we go back to the Mishnah said explicitly that you could skip in Navi, but you don't skip in Torah. Va'ad kama hu medalig, and how much do you skip in Navi? Ad kidei shlo yifsok haTargumon. Remember, I'll say the Mishnah said explicitly that you could skip in Navi, you can't skip in Torah, and even when skipping in Navi, you could only skip so much that what? That Lamaisa, that you can get to your desired location before the Targumon finishes interpretations. Which means what? Michlal, dibitora, klal, lo. Which Rabbi Osei seems to indicate to us what? Seems to indicate to us that Lamaisa, when it comes to Torah, we don't skip at all. So which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan be inyon echad, kan be shtei inyonos. To which Abayi says, it depends. What does it depend on? It depends, Lamaisa, if you're skipping from one section to the other, but within the same subject, versus going to two different subjects. Look at Rashi. Be'inyon echad, sheshnehen midabin bedavar echad. So when you have two sections that speak about the same subject, be'in kan tiruf hadas, and therefore there's no lapse in concentration. Hilchach kilo mafsik torgamon, medalik sharishnehen ba'inon. Excuse me. Shari shnehen beinyan yom kippur medarbim umastizin diktani klal lo b'shnei inyanim kigomi parshas and the gom the parshas zavin. So what's this? Actually very interesting. Sabayna gives another interpretation. Abayi says you can't skip in Torah, but in order to skip around in Torah, you need to satisfy two criteria. Number one, you can only skip from one subject to the same subject. You have to be skipping to the same subject. And number two, you have to be able to get to location B when. Before the Torgamon finishes his interpretations. If you could do those two things, then Lemaisa, again, you're allowed to skip in Torah. To which he wants, Vahatanya, but we learned, Medalgin b'Torah b'inyan echad, u'binavi b'shnei inyanim. Aye, but v'kan, b'chdei shlo yifsok ha-Torgamon. To which the Gemara says, and again, we have a brisa that supports this idea as well, that we learned you could skip in Torah b'inyan echad within one topic, and with Navi, even within two inyanim. But in both places, you have to get to location B by what? Before the Torgamon finishes his interpretation. Tanya idach, another braisa, ein medalgin, so we'll say, again, just see, while this finishes. Tanya idach, another braisa that says, ein medalgin mi Navi le Navi, o b'Navi shal shnei masar medalgin, o b'lvat shal yidlag, shal yidalig misof ha-sefer l'tchila. So, furthermore, again, we'll say, the Gemara says, we do not skip from one Navi to another, meaning even though we have a license to skip in Navi itself, we don't skip from one Navi to another Navi. So I'm not going to go from Shmuel Aleph to Shmuel Beis or from Melachim to Yirmiyahu. Rather, with one exception, Ubenavi shal shnei masar, but I will say in treyasar. Remember, Treyasar is that we call it the 12 minor prophets. They're not minor; they're important, but you know they're smaller Nevi'im. So in Treyasar to a certain degree is considered to be like one sefer. So Benavim Shol Shneimasar Medalek, you are permitted to skip. Ubevach Lo Yidlog Misofa Sefer Letchila. So as long as what? As long as you don't skip from the beginning of the sefer all the way to the end. So we'll say what comes out from this sugya. What comes out from this sugya is that the truth is the way we paskin is that halacha lemaisa we don't skip into it. Which Rabbi Bosai, interestingly enough, is when we have multiple kriyas, we take out two sifrei Torah. Right? You ever wonder about this? Meaning, again, why don't we just take out one sefer and just read from one sefer? Okay, it'll take a little bit of time to roll from it. So one of the there are a number of different reasons, but one of the reasons we do it is dafka this, because we paskin ein medalgin, that we do not skip within Torah. So therefore, if there are two kriyas that we have to do, we take out two svarim. Obviously, if you only have one sefer, then of course you do roll it. But lemaisa, again, assuming you have more than one, better to use multiple scrolls already at their determined locations without having to scroll around. What about a fast day? That's me. That's be'inyan echad, and that's me parsha leparsha. That's okay. That's already within the same section. So that, remember, we'll say this detailed discussion is really Maseches Brachos. That's the truth. So the Gemara here is not giving the whole detail, but something like that. The Gemara Brachos says that when you are in such close proximity to each other, that's not a problem. Says the Mishnah. Hamathja binavi who poris hashman. I will say, now again, we get to an interesting mission over here, that the one who does the haftorah, I will say, I have to understand something. Things are a little bit different today. You know, today, so the haftorah is considered to be a big kavod. So the truth is, from the perspective of the Mishnah, the haftorah was not a big kavod, because it wasn't a real aliyah. Remember, again, it's only, as you already saw yesterday, we'll see it today. It's only an add-on aliyah, as we'll discuss, and it wasn't the biggest kavod. Therefore, again, the Mishnah explains that one who got the haftorah, they compensated his lack of kavod by giving him other things to do in the service as well. It's interesting. There are some things like this, like it's like reading the ksuva. So reading the ksuva under the chuppah, you know, is it really, why do we read the ksuva under the chuppah? The truth is, it's only to create an interference. That's all it is. You don't have to read a ksuva under a chuppah. We do it in order to break up erisin and nisuin. So it's interesting, because it's just interesting that some things that we view as incredible kavod are not real kavod. I'm saying they're just like utilitarian pieces. And yet other things that very often we don't view as incredible kavod are, like, for example, hagba. We'll see in the Gemara is going to discuss that one of the greatest kibudim one could have is hagba. Right? Is hagba. Why? Because the Gemara says that when you get hagba, you're golilin zchus keneged kulam. The Gemara used lashon of, we think when they say golilin, when they say galila, they really mean hagba. But hagba is an incredible zchus. So it's just interesting how thinking evolves in terms of what's a big kibud, what's not a big kibud. Any event, the Gemara says, Mishnah says, hamafter benavi, if one goes ahead and reads the Haftorah, who poris al shema, he also goes ahead and what? He also goes ahead and poris al shema. Remember, we saw poris al shema yesterday. That's the process where if you have 10 individuals who daven, in 10 people daven individually, and now want to come together for some semblance of tefillah b'tzibur, so they can recite Kaddish, Baruch Hu, the first bracha of Birchos Kriyat Shema, which gives them again a quasi kiddush as well. So if the person gets the Haftorah, he's also the guy that leads this prisa, this poris al shema. He also davens for the amid. The person who gets the haftorah also davens for the amid. But who knows? He has kapov. If he's a kohen, he dochens. And we'll say we'll have to see exactly what the chiddush in that is. Meaning, any kohen dochens vim haya katan. And let's say we'll say you gave a katan haftorah. Technically, a katan could do the haftorah. Technically. We don't do that today. Vim hayakatan aviv o rabo obrin al yado. Then in that case, Rabbi will say, what happens? His father or his Rebbe, they go ahead and they do these things on his behalf. Katan kori b'torah umetargim. A katan is permitted to go ahead and read the Torah. He could lean. Umetargim, and he can serve as a torgamon. Aval eno poris al shema, but he cannot be poris al shema. Ve eno over the teva, nor could he be a shliach tzibor. Ve eno nosi es kapav, and he can't duchen. You can't talk. Rashi says, "Im kohenu shein kavod shel tzibor lios kifufin lebrichaso." Because lemaisa, again, it's not appropriate for the tzibor to go ahead and be blessed by a kohen who is a minor. Now, I will say, what this is talking about over here is, let's say the only kohen you had in the shul was a child, then you would not do birkas kohenim with a child. Once already there are other adults kohanim duchening, there's no problem for the children to ascend as well. Pochech. Well, said, it's actually very interesting. What's a pochech? Rashi says, "B'maseches svos, so b'mefarish kol shekra of nirin." Someone whose legs are exposed. Someone whose legs are exposed. So it sounds like somebody's wearing shorts, right? So somebody is wearing shorts. Pochech, poris eshma. He can know. So the shayla is again somebody whose legs are exposed, so he's not covered up in the normal fashion. So what could he do in terms of davening? So the Gemara says, poris eshma. He can go ahead and do this poris ashma, so he could lead this quasi minion. Umetargim, he could serve as the torgamon. Aval eno kori batora, but he is not permitted to lean. Ve eno over lifnei ateva, he cannot serve as a shliach tzibor. And if he's a kohen, ve eno no seas kapov, he may not go ahead and duchen. So we'll say, interestingly enough, because his legs are not covered, therefore again there are certain basic things he could do, but anything in which causes him to operate in a capacity on behalf of the tzibor, that he's not permitted to do. Therefore again, no leaning, he can't be a balkore, he can't be a baltfila, and if he's a kohen, he cannot duchen. Suma, a blind person, poris eshma, umetargim, a blind person, was like, could lead the tzibor with this quasi-minion poris eshma, umetargim, and he could serve as a turgamon. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Yehuda says, kol shelo ra'a ma'oros miyamav, eino poris ashma. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, anyone who has not seen, who has never seen the luminaries, is not permitted to go ahead and lead the tzibor with this quasi-minion. Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, the bracha within Baruch Hu that they say for poris al shema is what? Is Yotzer HaMa'oros. You can't say the bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros, which thanks God for creating the luminaries of what? If you have never seen the luminaries yourself. Says the Gemara, My time, also meaning what Gemara is asking over here is, why is it that the person who reads the Haftorah gets all of this other bonus privilege, right? Why does he get to go ahead and daven for the Amid afterwards, Poris Al Shema? And I will say, obviously, interestingly enough, Poris Al Shema would come before the Haftorah. So right now, really what the Gemara is focusing on over here is Lamaisa about davening for the Amid. So why is the person who gets the Haftorah get the Amid afterwards? Rav Papa Mishum Kavod. Rav Papa says it's because of Kavod. Rashi says Mishum Kavod. Lahavir lefnei Ateva. Hovil umamtzi atzmo davar she'eno kvodo. Tiknu lo zula kavod. Rav also, because since, again, reading the Haftorah is really not such a kavod, because again, remember, you're only reading Nevi'im as opposed to getting an aliyah in the actual Kriyas HaTorah. So because he did something that doesn't have as much kavod, we like to try to give him a little bit of additional kavod as well, and to have him lead the davening. Rabba Bar Simi Amar Mishum Da'asi Le'insuye. So Rabba Bar Simi says, because if we don't have him daven, what's going to happen? They're going to get into a fight. They're going to say, who's going to get into a fight? Look at Rashi. Mishum Insuye. Hadavar Bali De Machlokes. Ani Maftir Va'ata Avar Lefnei Atei. Va'ata Tavar Lefnei Atei. So what are they fighting about? So some things don't change all that much, right? So it's interesting over here, although this is kind of from a different perspective. But this is talking about over here is very often the Shliach Tzibor was paid. Shliach Tzibor was paid. So what's going to happen? So the guy who gets maftir is going to say, what? That guy gets paid for leading davening. I shouldn't get something for reading the Haftorah. So in order to avoid any type of tension, therefore, again, the Gemara says that the Mishnah said, whoever reads the Haftorah should also go ahead and lead davening. So the Gemara says, my binai. So what's the Sorbo says? We have two reasons as to why the person who read the Haftorah would go ahead and daven for the Amid. Either because of the covet of the individual, that since the Haftorah is not something that's so bakavadik, therefore we give him something that's bakavadik, or possibility number two, is in order to avoid fighting. So Mar says, my man, what's the practical difference between them? Ika benayhu da'avid d'chinam. Oh, so practical difference number one would be what? That if you have a baal tefillah who davens and doesn't get paid, so then if you tell me the issue is that the baal maftir is going to feel slighted that he's not getting paid, okay? So if the baal tefillah doesn't get paid either, it's not a shayla. V'im, furthermore, v'i amrit mishum nitz, excuse me, so the Gemara says, Vim Haya Katan Aviv. So that is the first nafkamina. Tanan, furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Vim Haya Katan Aviv O Rabba Ovrin Al Yado. Furthermore, the Mishnah said that if, let's say, you had a katan read the Haftorah, his father or his Rebbe goes ahead and davens, not on his behalf, but we give that kavod that would normally go to the katan, to the katan's father or his Rebbe. So if you want to say that we normally give the amud, let's say, for Musaf to the Baal Haftorah, so if you say the reason for that is because of fighting, so Katan Bar Nitzuyehu, is a Katan going to get into a fight with the Baal Tefillah? The assumption is not. Elamai Mishum Kavod. Therefore, again, it must be why. Why do we allow the Baal Maftir, the Baal Haftorah, to go ahead and daven? It must be because out of Kavod to the person who read the Haftorah. So the Gemara says, Katan Bar Kavodu is a Katan, someone who we have to be worried about is Kavod. Ela Ika Kavod Aviv Rebbo. But rather, again, you're right, it's not the Katan's Kavod as much that we're concerned about, but rather what? It's the Kavod of his father or the Kavod of his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, well, once you say that, Hachinami. Once we say that when it comes to a katan, we're worried about, again, the kavod of his father or the kavod of his rebbe, you can say the same thing over here, that when it comes to a katan, we would be worried that what? That his father or his rebbe may get into an argument with the Baal Musaf as well. Okay, the Gemara gives two possibilities as to why it is that we go ahead and we give the amud for tefillah to the Baal Maftir, either, again, because A, out of kavod, because he's doing something that's not so about kavodik, we want to go ahead and give him something that's a little bit more about kavodik. Or possibility number two is in order to avoid any type of confrontation between him and the Baal Tefillah. Okay, says the Gemara, Pochech Poris Ashma. Remember again, this was someone, Lemaisa, again, whose legs were not covered. So one of the things he can do is he could be Poris Ashma. Says the Gemara, Ba'a Minei Ula Barav Me Abaye. So what it says, Ula Barav asked of Abaye, Katan Pocheach Mahu Sheyikra Betorah. So if you have a katan whose legs are not covered, what is the halacha? Can he read from the Torah? Amarle, Vitibayilacha, but you can ask the Kasha, Arum, v'dibay lecha Arum. So again, why don't you ask the Kasha again by someone who's not clothed, Arum? So Arum, my time alone, mishum kavat sibor. Hachanai, mishum kavat sibor. So we'll say Arum obviously doesn't have to literally mean someone who's naked, but rather it means someone who's not properly clothed. So if someone is not properly clothed, are they permitted to go ahead and be the Baal Kori? Of course not. Why? Because of Kavat Sibor, so too over here, if the Katan himself is not properly covered, his legs are exposed, then Lamaisi is also not permitted to read because of Kavat Sibor. Says the Gemara, Suma Poris Al Shema. A Suma is permitted to go ahead and be Poris Al Shema. So says the Gemara something very interesting. Good. I want to come. Okay, no, we'll come back to that afterwards. So, Suma Poris Hashma, Tanya Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda. This is the Esit Rabbi Yehuda. Harbei Tzafu L'Drosh B'Merkava. So, let's remember again. So, the Mishnah said that a Suma is not permitted. A Suma is permitted to be Poris Hashma, but Rabbi Yehuda said no, because Rabbi Yehuda said anyone who has never seen the sun, the moon, the stars, is not permitted to be Poris Hashma. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying, is what Rabbi was saying, that you can't say the bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros if what? Yeah. If you have never actually seen the Ma'oros yourself. Says the Gemara, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, they said Rabbi Yehuda, Har Beit Safa L'Drosh B'Merkava V'lo Ra'u Osam Yemehem. So said Rabbi Yehuda, there are many people who have endeavored, Safu means who have tried to see, who have tried to endeavor to dash in the Ma'isim Merkava. So also remember, the Ma'isim Merkava is a very esoteric episode in Yecheskel that has to do again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, visions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, there are many people who try to find interpretations of Ma'isim Merkava, v'lo ro osam yemehem, but yet they never saw it. In other words, the thing Rabbi Yehuda is what? Is that sometimes you can have a connection to something, even if what? Even if you've never seen it. So too, again, even though the Suma has never seen the luminaries, that should not stop him from giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about them. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's apples and oranges, you can't compare it. Hasam ba'avanto deliba. It's different because Ma'isim Merkava, Rabosai, is not an issue of seeing. Ma'isim Merkava is an issue of comprehension. Avanta Deliba literally means the understanding of the heart. You're dealing there with spiritual matters. So because dealing with spiritual matters, again, it's an understanding of the heart, and it's not about what you see or what you don't see. V'ha ka mechavein v'yada, and in Ma'isim Merkava, if you put your heart to it, you will come to understand it independent of what you see or don't see. So the Gemara says, Hacha, Mishum Hanahu, Baha Lesli Hanah. When it comes to Rabbosai, to blessing on Kodesh Baruch Hu for the luminaries, that is a din in what? In one who derives benefit from those luminaries. Therefore, if a person is blind and has never really received benefit from the luminaries, he cannot make that bracha. So listen to Rabbosai, it's actually very interesting. Rabbanan, Isli Hanah. According to the Rabbi, so Rabbosai says, here's what we have. So if Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rabbosai, you should just know that this has other ramifications, not just in the bracha berchas kriyashma, but could assume say yotzer or uvorei choshech, could assume say pokeach ivrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and gives sight to the light. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is there are certain brachos that are really a function of actually seeing something, and if you've never physically observed it, then what? Then lamaisa you can't go ahead and make the bracha. On the other hand, V'rabbanan isli hanah. The Rabbanan say, no, he could even go ahead and say the bracha v'yotzer ma'oros, even if he's never seen the light. Why? Because he still gets benefits from light. The Rabbanan is actually a very profound Gemara. Listen to this. K'rabi Yossi. In accordance with what we learned from Yossi, this saying, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Kol yamai ha'yisi mitzta'er al mikrazem. All of my days, I was bothered by the following pasuk. What does the pasuk say? V'ha'yisa memashesh b'tzaraim. They all say, this is from the Tochacha. So you will go ahead and you'll be mamashish b'tzaraim. You will literally be feeling around midday, kasher yimashish ha'iver ba'afela, as the blind person feels around in the dark. See, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying you're going to be blind, not let's say physically blind, but you're going to be enveloped by darkness. And you're going to be reaching around in the same way that the blind person reaches around in the dark. So as Rabbi Yossi, v'chi ma ichpaste le'iver. But Rabbi will say, what do you mean as a blind person reaches around in the dark? For a blind person, it makes no difference if it's light outside or if it's dark outside. Either way, it's dark for him. So what's the pshat in the pasuk? At sheba ma'aseh liyadai, until the following episode happened to me. Pam achas hayisi mehalech b'isha laila. One time I was walking literally in the dead of night. Varaisi suma shaya mehalech b'derach. And I saw a blind man who was walking on the road. Va'avuka biyado. And he had a torch in his hand. Amarti lo b'ni. Avuka zulam alecha. I said to my son, why do you have this torch? Meaning you're blind, why do you have the torch? Amarli kozman sha'avuka biyadi. B'nei adam roin osi. As long as I have a torch in my hand, people are able to see me, umatzilin osi min hapechasin, umin hakotzin, umin habarkinin. And people are able to save me from the pits, from the thorns, and from the thistles. So I was like, what does this show you? Such a profound idea. What the Gemara is saying over here is that Lamaisa, the blind man benefits from the light as well. Not because it allows him to see, but what? Because it allows others to see him. And by definition, allows others to guide him and safeguard him and take care of him. So such an amazing insight. Therefore, again, the Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, the Rabbanon hold that even a suma, even a blind person, can in fact make the bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, although we can't see the light, he absolutely benefits from the light. So such a profound idea.
So he went blind sometime during his life, and hence...
Right, so that seems to be, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you could say it then, because Rabbi Yehuda seems to say, as long as you have a frame of reference for what the luminaries are, then it's okay, even if you can't actively see it now. Problem is, if you've never seen it, then you can't do it. So we'll say that's Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So it says the Mishnah. Kohen, Shiyesh B'aros, and now we're going to get a little bit into the halachas of duchening. Specifically, again, what type of factors disqualify a Kohen from duchening. So it says the Mishnah, Misha Haya, I'm sorry, Kohen, Shiyesh B'yadav Mumin, if a Kohen has blemishes on his hands, Lo Yisa Eskapav, he should not duchen. They both say, now, what's the issue over here? So this is not a din in mum. This is not, remember, if a Kohen has certain mumin, so that disqualifies him from duchening. That's not what this Mishnah is talking about. If you look at Rashi says, Kohen sheish b'yadav mumin, lefi sha'am mistaklin bo. Because people say, what happens? It distracts people. It distracts people. So because it distracts people, again, lemaisa, you can't go ahead. And duchen, Rashi says, va'amrinu b'mesechas chagiga, ha'mistakla b'kohanim b'shoa shenosin es kapein, Ain of Chaos, Lefi Shashchina Shor Ayadin. I was saying that the Gemara Maseches Chagiga says that what? That if one looks at the Kohanim's hands at the time when they duchen, so their eyesight grows dim, because again, the Shechina itself rests on the hands of the Kohen. Now again, granted, today our practice is that the hands of the Kohanim are covered by their talisim. So that's why, again, others explain that it's not as much a din in looking at the hands of the Kohanim and your eyesight growing dim, but rather a din in distraction. In fact, Rabbi Sefer HaChinuch says that, for example, there are many movements. So one of the, if a Kohen is crippled, he's not permitted to do the avoda. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, what's the pshat? If a person's crippled, a person's lame, why are they disqualified? So the Sefer HaChinuch is very simple. It's a distraction. That when it comes to our connection to the Kohanim, we don't want something to distract us, either from focusing on the brachas or from focusing on the avoda. So anything that is going to distract the Yisrael, by definition, disqualifies the Kohen from service. So if he has mumin on his hands, he can't dochen. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af mi shahaya yadav tzvuos satis." So too, if a Kohen had discolored hands, because satis is a dye. Let's say he works with paint or he works with dye, so his hands are stained. He can't duchen either, because again, it creates a distraction. Lo yisa es kapav mikmeisha amistaklimbo. So if his hands are literally stained, he should not duchen, because again, people will stare at it. So again, we'll say two different interpretations as to why the staring is problematic. Either A, because lemaisa, again, it'll cause people to look at the hands. And again, looking at the hands in the Kohanim are duchening is problematic because your eyesight grows dim because the Shechina is there. Or B, simply because it's a distraction and will not allow you to focus on the bracha. Says the Gemara Tana, Mumin Sha'amru, when we speak about the fact that a Kohen who has Mumin, Befanav Yadav Viraglov, we're talking about Mumin where what? There's a Mumin on his face, his hands, and his feet. Because they're both saying, remember, these are all places that will be visible to those who are watching the Kohanim perform, give the brachas. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Yadav Boikonios, Lo Yisa Es Kapov. If his hands, or what is boikonios? So remember, bohak, we actually see that lashon by tzara'as. So boikonios means spotted. spotted. If he has blotches on his hands, see, he should not go ahead and dochen. That supports this. Yada boy kanios lo yisas kapov. If his hands are spotted, he should not dochen akumos or akushos lo yisas kapov. Look at Rashi. Akumos is kafuvos. If his hands are bent, or again, or akushos. So bent. So first one means sounds like it's bent, bent like maybe clutched a little bit more. So akushos means that they're bent to the side. You should not dochen. So we'll say essentially any way in which the hands themselves are twisted serves as what coin should not dochen. Amar Rabasi, this is actually very interesting. Rasi says, chifni ubishni lo yisa es kapav. So we'll say, what's chifni ubishni? So Rashi points out over here, chifni ubishni, koin shume anshe chaifa, o me anshe beis sha'an, megam gimin belashonan. So we'll say, a coin from Haifa or a coin from beis sha'an should not duchen. Why do I say? Because in these places, they were notorious mispronouncers of words. So because they are mispronouncers of words, so that we don't want them duchening because it just distracts the olam from the bracha. We'll discuss what their mispronouncers were in just a moment. But he says, that supports this. That was talking about duchening. Now this brisa talks about davening for the amid. You can't have a chazan lo me anshe lo anshe beishan v'lo anshe beischaifa v'lo anshe tivonin. So you can't have people from beishan. You can't have people from chaifa. You can't have people from tivonin. They can't be the chazan. Right, I will say again, the chazan must know how to pronounce words properly. And if he can't pronounce words properly, should not be the chazan. What was their problem? Mipnei shekorin la'alfin einin, ula'einin alfin. I will say that now, again, in our modern-day pronunciations of Hebrew, this goes much more unnoticed. But there is Bashkenazim, right? There is a vocalization. They've seen an aleph and an ayin. So the problem with all these people is they would swap their alephs and ayins, and therefore this would lead to mispronunciations. Listen to this. So we'll say, So Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi the following idea. Again, he's talking to Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, if you were a Levi, pasul ata min hadochen. You would be pasul from the dochen. Remember, we'll say the dochen refers, we saw this again in our previous Masechtos, the dochen refers to the platform on which they stood when they would go ahead and perform the Shira. So the Gemara says, this is now, Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, if you were a Levi, you would be pasul from the duchen. Why? Mishum da'avi kolech, because your voice is very deep, too deep. And such a deep voice, again, would have been considered to be a blemish for the Shira of the Leviim. So what happened? Asa amar le'lavua. So Rabbi Shimon comes and he tells his father. And I will say, he's not like, Dad, look what he's, you know, what he was saying is, he was just surprised by this statement. So his father, Rebbe, said to the son, Rabbi Shimon, why don't you go tell Rabbi Chiya, Amrale, zil emale, kesha'ata magia etzel, v'chikisi la'Hashem. You know, you, Rabbi Chiya, when you get to the pasuk of v'chikisi la'Hashem in Yeshayo, literally, I will wait for God, lo ninseis mecharif u'megadif. When you read that pasuk, it turns out that you're blaspheming. What Rabbi Osek is, interestingly enough, Rabbi Chiya used to pronounce his cheses like haze. So therefore, again, Rabbi Chiya would say the pasuk of v'chikisi la'Hashem, how would he read it? V'chikisi la'Hashem. Right, which literally means to strike God. So, okay, you know, look, we've all got our linguistic challenges. So, okay, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Zevalgon lo yisas kapov. We'll say, Zevalgon means someone who has very teary eyes. Someone with very teary, overactive tear duct. Someone who has very teary eyes should not duchen. Again, I will say, this is all a din and distraction. Vaha, hahu dahave bishvivuse dravuna, vava paris yade. There was a teary guy. It doesn't sound, there was a guy who had very teary eyes in the neighborhood of Rav Huna, and yet he used to dochen. That was different. Hahu dash be'irohava. People were used to him. Well, and it's actually very interesting that what the Gemara is advancing over here is this idea that a distraction is only a distraction if what? If you're not used to it. But once you're used to it, it's no longer really a distraction. Ta'ina, okay, right, so that supports this. Zivalgon lo yisas kapov. a person who has very teary eyes, should not go ahead and dochen. But again, if the members of his city were used to him, they knew him already, mutter, then he's permitted to do so. Similarly, if a kohen is blind in one of his eyes, he should not go ahead and duchen. Is that so? But there was a kohen who was blind in one eye, who in fact what? Who in fact did duchen. Which the Gemara says, who dash bi'iro hava. It was different because that individual, again, the members of the city were used to. Also, remember again, the laws of mumin, as they apply, let's say, to avoda, don't necessarily apply to duchening. It's two different things. Even a kohen, because obviously being blind in one eye would prevent you from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, but does not prevent you. Would not necessarily prevent you from doing duchening. So I guess we're not choshish for that level. I guess because it's a din and distraction, we look really at just what the people of the city do. I guess from this answer. Correct. It could be where's a patch, or it could be. Correct. Obviously, it's a distraction. Correct. It has to be a distraction. Correct. So Mara says again, Tanya Nam Yachir, right? So that supports this. Suma ba'achas me'in of lo yises kapov. If you have someone who is blind in one eye, see shenat duchen v'im hayodash bi'iro mutter. But again, if it's known in his city, meaning if people are used to it already, then it becomes mutter. So the Gemara said the following. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misha yadov tzuvos lo yises kapov. So remember again, the Mishnah said, quoting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that if someone had hands that were stained, that lemaisa, he should not doch. In Tana, imrov anshe ir melachton bekach mutter. An interesting exception, it's supposed to say, meaning if the reason his hands are stained is because, whatever, he's a dyer, he's a painter, if the majority of the people of that city have the same profession, so meaning that stained hands is a normal occurrence, then lemaisa, again, you no longer have the distraction factor, and therefore be permitted for him to go out and duchen, even with stained hands. Mishnah, ha'omer eini overlif ne'ateva bitzvun. So what says is actually very interesting. So now, we're finished with Dochning. Now let's see, you have an individual, Bosa, who says that I'm not going to daven for the Amid in colored clothing. I only daven in white clothing. Even in white clothing, we don't let him daven for the Amid. What's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Af b'levanim lo yavar, but time first. So we'll see in the Gemara what this is. So this is from an individual who dafka says, I will only daven for the Amid. So it's not an issue of, let's say, covered clothing, where let's say again the colored clothing is not nice, and what he's saying is there's some type of weird insistence on only davening in white clothing and not in colored clothing. So if that's the case, we don't let him daven for the Amud at all. We'll see why. So furthermore, if he says, you know what, I'm not going to daven for the Amud while wearing my sandals, we don't even let him daven barefoot. Ha'oset, again, we'll see in Gemara what this is all about. Ha'oset tfilasa agula, sakana ve'in ba mitzvah. It will say, if somebody makes his tefillin round, look at Rashi. Ha'oset tfilasa agula, tefillin sheberosho agula kabetsa ke'egos. So we'll see Rashi actually adds in those last two words for reasons we'll see later on. Somebody makes his tefillin round like an egg or like a nut. So the halacha is, in ba mitzvah, excuse me, sakana. First of all, it's dangerous, because as we will say again, in that shape, again, technically we're concerned that if there's pressure, there's blunt force, the tefillin could actually penetrate the skull. So sakana, ve'in ba mitzvah, and there is no mitzvah associated with that. Al mitzcho, if a person goes ahead and places the tefillin on his forehead, al pas yado, or he puts it actually on the palm of his hand. So what is the halacha? Harizu derech minos. I will say, this is derech minos, this is apikorsus. I will say, again, remember, why would somebody be doing that? If you take a literal interpretation of bein einecha and al yadecha, right? So again, al yadecha would literally mean little on your hand, bein einecha would literally mean on your forehead. So this is apikorsus, because a person has clearly shown that they do not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Sipan zahav, if you literally coated your tefillin with gold, then nasna a beis unkali, and you put it on beis unkali. What does beis unkali mean? So again, we'll see in the look at Rashi. Beis unkali, a beis yad levushim v'chutz. You put your tefillin on top of your sleeve of your garment instead of under your sleeve, on top of your sleeve. So what is the halacha? Harizet derech hachitzonim. Rabbi will say, this is the way of the outsiders. Of the outsiders, again, of those who do not properly observe mitzvot. So the Gemara says, my time. So now the Gemara goes into this. Why is it that if a person says, I'm only gonna daven for the Amid in white clothing and not colored clothing, we don't let him do anything. Bless you. Chayshinan shema minos nizrakovo. Bless you. Because we're concerned that what? Maybe, again, some type of apikarsus has taken hold of this individual. Look at Rashi. Shema minos nizrakovo. Haminin ovdi avodazor makpidin mekach. Because apparently, again, certain types of idolatry, they were dafka makbid to only wear certain types of clothing for when praying to their deity. So somebody who has a strange insistence on this, we're concerned that there might be some derech minos there. Ha'oset tfilasa agula v'sakana ve'in b'mitzvah. Lema tanin alahadatan rabban. So also remember again, this is talking about if you're making your tefillin round. A, there's a sakana. B, there's no mitzvah. Lema tanin alahadatan rabban. Tfilin mirubaos halacha lemoshe misinai. So Rabbi say again, say that this supports the idea that we learned that the concept that tfilin have to be square is a halacha lemoshe misinai. But Amar Rava says, because remember, it's not written anywhere in the Torah that tefillin have to be square. That's halacha lemoshe misinai. But Amar Rava b'tafran uba'alachson. Rava says, look at Rashi. We'll say b'tafran uba'alachson kishu tofer beis moshavon tzorach lizor shlei kalkil ribuan b'meshichas chot hatfira v'tzorach shehelan alachson kilchaso b'meruba shete etzba berochav uba'orech shi etzba b'shnechum shem alachson. Rava says, furthermore, you have to be careful again that lamaisa tefillin are literally b'tafran, are stitched in the right way, uba'alachson, in the right direction. Amra Papa Masnisin da Abida ki amaguza. No. So to which the Gemara says the Mishnah is actually referring to something very specific. What the Gemara is bothered by is we already have halacha lemoshe misinai that says that halacha lemaisa the tefillin have to be merubah. So what is the Mishnah coming to add on? To which the Gemara answers, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that she made the tefillin amaguzal. What is Rashi? Look at Rashi ki amaguza agulos ke egos, rounded like a nut. Ava agula kebeitza kadasha shapir dami. Below Tisaya Lebraisim Masisa. Both say, tefillin other and any other shape than square are obviously going to be problematic. What the Mishnah is going to introduce is something different. Is that if you make it in certain shapes, not only do you not fill them, it's about what? It's sakana. Now, both say, interestingly enough, it's only sakana in certain ways. It's agula kebeitza, agula keegos. It's only if it's rounded like a nut. So apparently, again, if it's like a circle, so then it doesn't pose the same level of sakana. What the Gemara is bothered by a little bit, what the sakana is, apparently if it's rounded, and especially given the placement where you go in and you put the tefillin, depending on the nature of the rounding, chas v'shalom, this force, it could injure an individual. So that's the Gemara is adding in over here. You're not yotze, no matter what, because tefillin have to be square. But lamaisa, if the tefillin are rounded, not only are you yotze the mitzvah, but there's an element of sakana as well. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ha'omer, yivarchu chatovim. What's the top of chav hey? If a person says yivarchu chatovim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the good ones shall bless you. Harizu derech haminos. This is the way of non-believers. Look at Rashi. Yivarchu chatovim she'ena kol rishon b'shvachu shalmakom v'chachamim lamdu. Suppose if a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the good one should bless you, so that sounds like what? It's only the tzaddikim who have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but no one else has to. So this is the way of, this is apikorsus, because everyone is obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi brings that over here, that in the Ketores, so there's something called chelbina. Chelbina had a very foul smell, but yet what? It was one of the ingredients of the Ketores, to indicate that what they will say, even the foul ones among us are still part of the collective, and if you exclude them from the collective, that's apikorsus. Furthermore, if a person says, on the wings of birds, your mercy shall come. Va'al tov yizocher shemecha, and on the good HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your name shall be remembered. Modim, or a person says modim twice. In all of these cases, Rabbah say mishaskin oso. We go ahead and we silence him. Rabbah said, so we'll see the problem with all of these is, akansi b'agirach mecha, we'll see in the Gemara. Atov yizocher shemecha makes it sound like God's name is associated with the good things, but the bad things that occur are not from God. And modim, to say modim twice sounds like what? You're talking to two different entities. So in all of these cases, we silence the individual. Furthermore, hamechana ba'arayos, mishaskin. This is actually very, very interesting. Mechana ba'arayos means someone who says that, you know, when the Torah speaks about illicit relationships, then you know what? It's not literal. It's a euphemism. This actually occurs a lot contemporarily, where people, it's by the laws of morality specifically, and in general you see that very often there are misinterpretations where people want to say that the Torah is not literal, but rather again the Torah is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. So if somebody who says that the arayos are not literal, but rather are metaphorical, mishaskin oso, we silence them. We silence them because such an approach is obviously fundamentally flawed. So we'll look at Rashi. Mechana b'arayos. Actually, we're not going to read Rashi now. We'll see him in Gemara. If someone says, Moshe, the pasuk Torah explicitly says that you shall not give over your children to go at lahavir lemolech, to give them over to Molech. Remember, Molech was an avodah zara. So one who says that you shall not give over your children to be given over to Molech, they interpret that. Bless you. They interpret that to mean lo sitin laabra ba'armiyusa. Metaphorically interpreted that to mean that you should not impregnate an Aramean woman. You shouldn't have relations with an Aramean woman, because you will say, what does that mean? Mean that if you have a child with an Aramean woman, that's tantamount to what? To giving over your child to Molech, because Lema'is, again, she's going to go ahead and give over the child to Avodah Zara. So someone who interprets that pasuk to mean that, Meshaskin Oso Benezifa, we go ahead and what? We silence him. Benezifa means... Stark, with incredible force. Actually, Nazifa will see under certain circumstances can mean a slap. Whether it's a verbal slap or a literal slap, we'll see later on. Look at Rashi. Mishaskin also ben Nazifa. Sha'okir akasami mashmo. Shuavodus chok lamuraim. Lahaber ben emelaish. Venosin kares. Lavo alakusis. Umechayiv chatas. Al shogi gumisas. Bezin almezin basra. Well, say, remember again, the Torah here is speaking about the explicit prohibition about giving a child, about engaging in Avodah Zarah. So to go, now obviously it's not good to impregnate an Aramean woman, but it's not the same prohibition to have relations with a non-Jewish woman than it is to go ahead and give over your child to Avodah Zarah. So obviously, again, if you interpret this pasuk as talking about impregnating an Aramean woman, you are giving a much more severe punishment to a much lesser transgression. Therefore, Meshaskin Oso ben Azifa, we silence him quickly because the Maaseh, he's actively misinterpreting the Torah. Bishlama modim modim de mechse kishtei rishuyos. So says the Gemara, I understand why modim modim you can't do, because it looks like you're praying to two different gods. Va'al tov yizachar shmecha. And when the pasuk says, if you say, God, your name shall be remembered on the good, nami demashma al tov in va'al ra lo. I understand why that's problematic. Why? Because it makes it sound like a Kadosh Baruch whose name is only associated with the good things that happen, but not with the negative. However, Utinanan, we learned, Chayiv Adam Levarech Al Ra, Kishem Shum Levarech Al Tova. A person is obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which is negative, in the same way as I bless God for that which is positive. Ela Al Kan Sipir Agir Achamecha Mai Taima. But what's wrong with saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your mercy should arrive on the wings of the bird? Because again, the assumption over here is what? That you're taking the mitzvah of Kan Sipur, which is the mitzvah of chasing away the mother bird before you take the chicks. And essentially what you're saying is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like you have such rach, rachamim on the bird, so too again your rachamim should come on everything else. What's wrong with that? So pliki b'tremoroi. So it's machlokes. Pliki b'tremoroi b'ma'arav. Two amoroim disputed this in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Amar Mipnei Shumatal Kina B'Maseh Bereishis. One says, because you are causing kina, you're causing jealousy within the world, within the animal kingdom. Why, Rabbi Yosef? Because you make it sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu just has rachamim on the birds, but does not have rachamim on anything else. The Chad Amar and the other opinion says, Mipnei Sha'osa Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim ve'inon ela gzeros. And the other opinion says, you know what the problem is? That you are assuming that the reason for the mitzvah of kansip, or of sending away the mother bird, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion. But the truth is, we don't try to read in to the reasons behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzeros. Whatever God tells us to do, we do. Why? Because that is the command, that is the gzera of God. And when you begin to attribute our own reasoning to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one could get themselves into incredible trouble. Therefore, if this individual goes in and says, Akansipir agir rachamecha, again, either because you are going to cause kina, jealousy within the animal kingdom, that why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have mercy on the birds and not anything else? Or B, because you run into incredible theological danger when you begin to attribute man-made reasons for divine commandments. When the proper approach to observing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments is, why do we do it? Not necessarily because we understand it, not because it emotionally, intellectually, spiritually appeals to us, but simply because it's the gzira, is the decree of God. Right? So we'll have to stop over here. We're going to figure out what we're going to do about tomorrow's daf. I don't know yet exactly, but we'll see. We'll just watch your email today, Mir Tzashem.